Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma Police has informed the community about a new sex offender in the area. Officials say it's their belief that an informed community is a safer community. Learn more about it, YumaDailyNews.com. A hospital in Arizona plans to build a new facility in Buckeye. The building will be near Interstate 10. Learn more about the hospital on our website. Police in Phoenix have found a man lying in the street after driving his car into a building. Officials say replacing the damages will cost about $300,000. Read more about the incident, YumaDailyNews.com. President Joe Biden will give $800 million in military aid to help Ukraine fight Russia. The new military package includes heavy equipment. Learn more about that military aid at YumaDailyNews.com. A local high school teacher has been given the Navy Impact Influencer Award. The teacher says he's very happy to have been selected for the award. Read more about the award on YumaDailyNews.com. Follow us on Facebook at Yuma Daily News for the latest local and state news in Yuma and in Arizona. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Starting the weekend, sunny, windy, and much colder. But after today, we warm back up. 76 the high today. Tomorrow, sunshine 85. By Sunday, temperatures near 90.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all of the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Happy Friday, everyone. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU 805 on a blustery Friday day. It's still going to be gorgeous. It's going to be nice and cool.
I like blustery. You know, that's a good word.
It is. I mean, come on. Christopher Robin, Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
What's so funny is in my office, I always say, hey, all Tiggers, no Eeyores.
Wow.
Come on.
I've had the Eeyores around before. You know what that's like.
Yeah. Yes, we all do. There's always a few Eeyores. You know, talking about a lot of stuff that we gotta do today, but first and foremost, you mentioned the tunnel fire up in Flagstaff. I mean, there's
terrible.
No containment, and there's a lot of people who are now being forced out of their homes. I hope they get that contained quick because the wind is not going to slow down up there.
It's a bad time for wind.
Yeah. Very bad time for wind.
And
it's blowing towards Flagstaff. And, you know, again, that's clearly they'll probably not have it in Flagstaff. But it's just that now all the smoke and all that stuff is going to be blowing towards town and everything else.
So. I mean, what are you going to do? It's all climate change.
Well played, Russ. Well played. So, you know, one of the questions that I get all the time, and, you know, let's use you and I not looking in our crystal balls.
Okay.
But everybody says, hey, is the market going to crash? Hey, are prices going to come down? What's going on with rates? And do you, in your unprofessional opinion, think prices are going to go down?
No.
Okay. Why do you not think that before we get into the data?
Because as the inflation has grown, it's not caught up yet. In other words, fuel prices have gone up. A lot of commodities have gone up that businesses use every day. Fertilizer's gone up, all that kind of stuff. But the contractual prices for the farmers is already set, so it didn't really affect the prices completely yet. Same with everything else. It hasn't affected the prices completely yet. But over the next few months, these businesses are going to have to catch up, reanalyze their expenses, reanalyze where they are, and there's still bumps coming.
So you look at in our industry, one of the things that say Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and some of the housing organizations do is they do a ton of research and a ton of surveys. Freddie Mac just put out a study that says here in the United States we are currently 3.8 million homes short of demand.
Well, then we need more people to come into the country illegally to fix it.
That would help that. But if you're short just shy of 4 million homes, supply and demand, Doesn't that mean the demand is outpacing supply, which means the prices have to continue going up?
Of course.
Okay. So we've just answered one of the questions is, do you believe nationwide home prices are going to come down? No. The nation is short literally 4 million homes.
But there are things that could happen that would cause it to come down.
There are. Now, is that nationally? Is it regionally or locally?
Both.
Okay. So now let's talk about Yuma, Arizona. Are people in the Sand States, let's talk Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, even up into Oklahoma, are people moving into those areas or out of those areas?
They're coming in, and that's not going to change. I mean, we're going to be more popular than the places that are where it's painful to live. Okay. Painful meaning money.
So now we're talking in a region, people are moving into certain areas and out of certain areas. So now that's going to basically aggravate the supply problems in those areas.
We're going to do better money, I mean, price-wise than places where they're living. Correct.
Okay. Now let's talk about locally. Do you see local demand increasing or decreasing in just our city?
Increasing.
And I see lots of people from California, lots of people from Washington State wanting to move here because we've talked about it before. They get to telecommute. They get to keep their California income or their Washington State income, but they get to come here and buy local Yuma prices.
And have great blustery weather.
Yep, blustery. I like it. Well, they can see you and your granddaughter out there flying a kite here just a little bit.
That's going to happen.
So prices, I do not believe, are going to come down for the next 3 to 5 years because it's going to take that long for the supply to catch
up. Short of any natural catastrophe that none of us can predict or have control over.
Now, let's talk about, you know, again, values of homes. Mm-hmm. The estimate for Arizona was double-digit growth again this year.
Okay.
So, again, the nationwide surveys are telling you what states are going to increase, what states are going to decrease based on the population moves, et cetera. Right now, they're forecasting here in Yuma County, and this one was put out by MBS Highway, they're forecasting the one-year appreciation at 7.31% again, which I believe is low compared to some other studies, but I'd rather use the more conservative one. And the five-year forecast is 29.11%.
Over 5 years.
A 30% increase potentially in 5 years. And that goes right back to what Mel was asking about. When you say the average person's net worth when they die, well, there's a huge difference between a renter and a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeowner is participating in the appreciation, but they're also participating in paying down their own debt. So if you lock in that 30-year fixed debt today and you start making payments, you and I agree your principal balance goes down, right?
Yep.
So you owe less, the home becomes more, you get to keep the spread in the middle. If you're a renter, do you get to keep anything?
No.
No. Okay, now, here's the other thing that the last piece or the last shoe to drop is, do you see rents going up or down, Russ?
They've only gone up, and I don't see that changing.
Okay, so when we had the last crash, if you will, back in 8, 9, 10, rents had never risen, so it was cheaper for people to get out of their home and go into rent. Now you look around you and you see what people are really paying for rent, and none of the property managers really have any vacancies. There isn't any place to rent, and the rents are now at, or even in some cases, in some areas, above what you could buy the home for. So it's actually still cheaper for those people that bought homes over the last couple of years to stay in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not going to leave their home and go rent and cash out because it's going to cost them just as much to go rent somewhere. So you can't go rent. Home prices are going to go up. The demand coming into Yuma and Arizona and the Sand States is going to continue to push prices north, and you can't build them fast enough to meet demand. Is there any reason to think that prices would come down anytime soon?
No.
That you just answered the question. I'm not kidding you. I answer that probably 20 times a day.
Yeah, people ask.
Yes, all day
long. Of course,
And I'm happy that they do. And I there's no condescension in answering that. But
of course, it's not a scientific thing. Well, it kind of is. I mean, it's taking a look at the past, taking a look at where we are, and taking a look at what's coming. I mean, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things could change, but nothing I see right now is coming that's going to make it happen. But we know they can't keep going up like this forever. It's not sustainable.
No, not forever. But now let's talk about, if you went back 50 years, well, technically 60 years now, what was the average home price in the United States 60 years ago?
5,000?
No, it's in the mid-20s.
20s, was it?
Okay.
Oh, but okay, yeah.
So 20 to 25,000, depending on the area of the country, but say mid-20s. You think 60 years ago, mid-20s, and now mid-200s.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Okay. I would think it would be in the threes by now.
Now, if you said from 60 years ago, go back another 50. So go back about 110 years, which is really a long time. But how many generations is that?
Well, a generation, what, every 20 years, so five.
Okay, four to five, depending on your family tree. And the average home price, like you said, was about $1,200.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, if you're really trying
to... So why didn't you buy 10 dozen of them?
You know what?
Because average wage was a quarter a day.
I have said, great grandpa, why didn't you do that over and over? Now, let's talk about rates for just a second, because again, if we're going to be analytical on all this data, guys and gals out there listening, let's kind of give you that information. How did the Federal Reserve drive interest rates down over the last 2 years?
Well, that was buying, right?
I mean, right.
Yeah.
They bought everything. So again, you and I just talked about supply and demand. When there's not enough homes, the price goes up.
They just bought the paper.
They bought every bond, residential mortgage, commercial mortgage, junk bond, and it all went into the Treasury. So the Fed is currently sitting on almost $9 trillion worth of mortgages. Here's the only two things that you really need to know about that. For 2 years, they artificially drove rates down because they bought everything. Now, in September, October, they really...
So if buying drives them down, what does selling them do?
Ooh, you're two steps ahead of me. So watch this. In late last year, they said they're going to stop purchasing new bonds in November of last year. Now, they did say when the runoff occurs. So let's pretend, Russ, you owned a home and you refinance it. That money paying off your debt is called runoff. So now that's paid off. They said they would not buy new debt, but the runoff monies they would turn around and reinvest. So they were going to keep roughly that $9 trillion on the books. So the market started to ebb and flow, and interest rates started to rise shortly after November. Why? Because they weren't out there competing in Wall Street and buying everything.
Well, yeah, if they're buying $9 trillion, they were buying every day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that they bought a little
now,
bit.
Now, you asked what happens when they sell. So they said, okay, just kidding, we're wrong. In March, which has already passed, in March, we're actually going to become a seller. So in March, we're going to sell $85 billion worth of mortgages and paper and securities monthly.
Monthly.
So now, not only were they buying just 5 months earlier, and then they said, now we're going to hold, now they're going to force $85 billion more into the market that the market has to soak up. So
they're going to sell like $1 trillion a year.
So why do you think, it's going to take about 8 years for them if they keep that pace. Now, you and I can't tell whether they're going to keep that pace up or not.
They don't know. Because it's political, too.
But so now interest rates, we knew, were in the high twos to low threes. Where are interest rates published nationwide right now?
I don't know.
They're in the fives.
They are.
So if you look at the Freddie Mac statistics, the Fannie Mae statistics, you're now seeing a 800 FICO borrower with about 1.5 points on a 30-year fixed with 20% down on a conventional loan. All these asterisks that Freddie Mac puts right here on their stat, 5.35. That's the average with all of those caveats. So obviously every credit score is different. Every down payment amount is different. But they're telling you that it's already in the low fives. Now, when did they get that data? They don't know when a mortgage banker or broker locks the rate.
Right.
They know when that security is delivered, recorded in the MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Recordation
System.
When
you lock the rate, how much time do you have to close? What's the maximum?
Typically 60 days.
60 days.
But you could pay for extensions. So you see a lot of these that you got a 60-day lock, and it barely funds on day 60, and then it's going to take the secondary market another week to package it and sell it off warehouse lines, and it's going to take some more time to get it recorded in the MERS system. So it may not be 75 days before Fannie and Freddie know where it is.
So there's a risk involved to lock it for somebody.
Mm. Sure there is.
Yeah.
There's always a risk. I mean, if you lock... Now, the really smart people know how to hedge really, really well.
Okay.
And so typically there's investment vehicles that work counterintuitive to what a mortgage bond is. So the secondary guys in the mortgage bond, they look a lot at a 10-year T-bill, a couple other things. And so when, let's say I as a lender lock your rate, Russ Clark, and let's say I gave you 5% today and that rate is locked, the secondary guys would go hedge that against a counterintuitive investment. Their whole goal in life break is even. To make no money.
Break even.
Don't lose any, break even. So yeah, yeah. If there's a gain on the mortgage, there's going to be a loss on the hedge, but it's a zero sum and vice versa. What caused a huge amount of issues way back in the day, there's companies that didn't hedge. There were whole institutions that didn't hedge. So all of a sudden, they were profiting hugely when the market went one way,
yeah,
and they lost their butts when it went the other way.
Yeah, so it would be a fun day as they're declining.
Mm-hmm. If you're hedged right, and if you're not, no, yeah, it's that's when, unfortunately, and I, you know, you see some of those guys jumping out of windows. There were huge issues previously. So again, you're not generally going to lose or make after it's locked. It's just hedged.
Okay.
So,
but that's a whole organization you pay to just break even.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like that job to get paid to break even?
Yeah,
counterintuitive to what you do.
It's still a lot of work to get that done, though.
So, you know, everybody listening, here's the chart. If you look at this, Russ, does that not look awful going down?
Yeah, it is going down. What's going down?
That's a six-month chart of what the mortgage bond pricing has been. So as the Fed, the higher it is on this chart, the lower the interest rates to you and I as a consumer.
Oh, okay.
The lower it is over here, the higher the interest rates to you and I as a consumer. And if you saw that chart for a stock, would you not be bailing thinking that there's huge issues looks if you owned it?
Looks like Disney.
You know, actually, you're not far off. That really does look like the Disney chart.
Yeah.
So, again, to most people that are listening, do you believe home prices are going to go down? Not anytime soon.
No.
Do you believe interest rates are going to keep going up? Absolutely.
Yep.
So if rates will continue to go up in the future and home prices will continue to go up in the future, yes, you could have gotten a better deal last year, but I also could have bought, you know, Bitcoin and Tesla and all that stuff when it came out. It doesn't matter what happened previously.
Right.
Here's where we are.
Where are we going?
Great time to buy a home. Great time to get a 30-year fixed. And let's talk about fixed rate debt after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Happy Friday, everyone. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, in studio. Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, sir.
It is a great day. Happy Friday, Yuma, Arizona. Sunny skies. Really is going to be a beautiful weekend. What are you going to do? Do anything with your granddaughter?
Yes.
What are you going to do?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
You know, I'm working on that vehicle. You know, we're going to be doing some working on the outside of it, you know, cleaning it up, getting decals off, painting some little things.
So child labor, you're going to have her scraping
your
car.
It is all child labor, and I'm not going to register with anybody, but there will be some child labor.
Hey, child labor, if you work for family, it's actually okay, I think.
Is it?
I think it is.
Unless you're a farmer.
Yeah.
I've known some farmers gotten in trouble over it by doing neighbors favors, and like the neighbors have said, like, look, my kid's a teenager, you think you can use them around and just...
But that's the neighbor's kids, it's not your own.
I know, so. It's terrible.
You know, one thing we were talking about, and going back to some of these stats, did you know Yuma County is currently ranked in the top 10% for appreciation forecast in the next 12 months?
I did not. I do now.
Did you know that Yuma County is ranked in the top 10% in the nation for the five-year appreciation forecast?
It makes sense because you're telling me.
Did you know that Yuma County is in the top 20% nationwide for the historical appreciation?
What does historical appreciation mean?
Means historically prices going up over time from original purchase price to current estimated value.
I didn't know we were in that good of shape.
Yeah. And they also rank us in the top 20% for new job opportunities, and they rank us in the top 20% for housing affordability. So that means to me, 4 out of 5 people around the country would like to live here. Right?
We can't take them all.
Well, we can't take them all.
Yeah.
Well, you can have a few more reside with you, right?
Yes.
You got some extra room?
No.
Okay. figured I'd try. So, you know, let's talk about the one thing that people underestimate is what 30-year fixed rate debt means. Now, you know, again, I don't like debt. I don't like destructive debt. Let me put it that way. So, cars, credit cards, you know, loans just to go do. By the way, have you seen those, you know, the buy now, pay later things?
Of course, those are bad.
The Affirm type things. And again, there's reasons for all those. We used to have layaways. Remember, you used to go into Kmart and Walmart and do a layaway where you'd put it in the back and you'd go and make payments. And when you paid it off in full, then you got the item.
Yeah, you didn't get the item until then. There was an incentive to pay it off.
New study out says 1 out of 4 consumers that has one of the split payment buy now, get later type thing.
BNPLs.
Yes. Whatever it is. 1 out of 4 can't afford the payment.
Correct.
Which is scary because those companies have your checking accounts, your routing numbers. Yeah, so they're going to suck the money out of your account because that's what you agreed to.
Or they'll come get your couch.
Yep. So, you know, you go back to looking at what 30-year fixed rate debt does. The beauty is, Russ, do you expect your income to go up over time?
Yes.
Okay. I do. Everybody does. We all want raises, even if it's a measly cost of living index increase type thing. So if you get a home now and you put it on a 30-year fixed rate debt, does that payment get cheaper over time?
It's the same.
As your income goes up, does that payment go
up?
Oh,
as a percentage of my income. Yeah, it becomes less of a percentage.
Correct.
Correct.
So the big thing that especially people who go, man, I really don't know if I want to buy now. No, you still need to buy now because interest rates are going to go up. And when you lock that 30-year fixed in.
And something you've talked about, and I want you to mention it again, is that you buy now on what you can afford. Don't overdo it. Work it within your budget. And if it's and you can always buy. It may be a 2,000-square-foot house or 1,500-square-foot house, depending on the market and what's going on, but you can always buy.
You can always buy. It's
but
just
it's not going to be the dream house. And if you hold off and wait for that dream house on the hill, you may never get started.
Yeah, don't wait for the dream home number one.
Right.
That's what you work up to. No different than, you know, you don't go to work for a company and you say, I'm going to go to work as the CEO. No, you generally get in and start working your way up. But you get into something that you said the right word. What can you afford? I don't care how much you can qualify for. I mean, that's the old, hey, here's the fisherman's. I caught a fish this big. Everybody wants to brag. I can qualify for this home or my credit score is X. That's the new fisherman story.
Don't put yourself in that position where you're working for the house.
Nope. How about we talk about what you can afford and make that a good percentage of your income after you pay yourself first,
and
after you invest.
And that's different on every lifestyle. Some lifestyles, people are going to say, I've never left my house on the weekend. I only stay home. I like to read, and I just want a house I can live in. Well, that's different than a guy that goes fishing every weekend, goes to Vegas every month, and travels to Europe during Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's different lifestyle.
And either one should be budgeted for.
Just budget, and both are fine. Both are wonderful. It's your life. Live it. But know what your budget is, and then put the house in that budget.
And the beauty of the fixed rate debt is once it's done, you don't have to do it again. And so, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, should I start making extra payments to my house? Should I try to pay it off early? You know, the answer is it depends. It depends. Do you have your retirement fully funded? Do you have your consumer debt paid off? Do you still owe on cars and credit cards? And it's interesting the number of people that I see that are trying to make $75 and $100 payments extra on their home, but they owe a lot of money on credit cards.
You know, and what I think that's
a feel good.
That's a well. It's also a mentality that credit cards is just another bill, and you expect to have them. I've known people to pay off their credit cards. It goes right back because they don't. Well, it's only so much a month. It's only so much a month, and they get kind of used to it. It's always there. Like it's just a fact of life. It's always there.
Yeah.
They got to change that mentality.
Well, we as a society have changed the mentality of it used to be work, save, go buy when you have the reward, and now it's a buy now, pay later. Whether it's, you know, cars, boats, TVs, and, you know, we've been financing things for a long time, but it's amazing how much stuff like the books you have here that are holding your cameras.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people could go buy those cash. And a lot of people will go put them on a credit card and then make the minimum payment when the credit card comes out. And you may be paying interest on the 10 books that are sitting here.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that a lot of the credit cards are 18 to 20% interest.
And you just get used to it, numb to it, and you don't really know the interest. You don't want to know. It's just one of those things. Well, it's only $100 a month. It's no big deal.
That's the ostrich mentality.
Yeah.
Let's not do that either. So, again, the beauty with the fixed rate debt that I want everybody to look at, and for people who say, hey, I want a 10-year loan, I want a 15-year loan, I want to pay it off early, I strongly advise people to say, maybe I want the 30-year loan, and you could pay it ahead if you want. But you could also do the normal payment on the 30-year fixed and stash that money in a money market account or an investment and actually put those assets away doing something for you.
What you're really saying is that you've got options at that point. You're not locked in and you're free to move based on where you stand at the time. You can pay off early or not pay off early and make that decision later. Most people don't trust themselves.
That's an interesting thing right there is there are people that force themselves into a 15-year mortgage because they don't want the cash sitting in their bank.
They don't trust themselves. And because they see cash, they're going to spend it.
Now, where did a group of people, because it's not everybody, there's a lot of good people out there that do trust themselves, but where did a group of people lose the trust and faith in themselves that they have the discipline to keep some green pieces of paper with dead president and people on it in the bank somewhere? How do you not trust yourself with the money?
They don't. And there's a lot of people that I wouldn't trust either.
So yeah, well, that's true. I ain't giving you my money for crying out loud. But you said you had $500 to invest. Can I borrow $500? So, you know,
okay, you can have it.
let's talk about just being observant. So you need to look at your own budget. You need to look at your own investing and savings. Are you going in the right direction? You know, like Mel talked about last segment, the average net worth and what home ownership does to somebody's net worth. But let's also talk about what that means over the long run of the changing the mental game of the discipline to become somebody who sees their home as an investment. If you see your home as an investment, would you then decide, do I put more money on the house or do I put more money on the credit card?
Interesting question, because that's a tough one, particularly in a marriage.
Maybe.
I was more of a investment. My wife was more of a emotional attachment.
Okay.
And that's problematic.
So open, honest discussions are what has to happen.
Yeah.
And putting simple pieces of paper, you know, I mean, I still do a written budget. I still write these things down because I want to know where everything is and what it looks like. And the budget to me is the most freeing thing ever. It's not the handcuffs that everybody think it is. Because if you budget and you have your savings first and then all of your minimum required household needs, once you've done that and you say, okay, I'm going to save X amount of dollars over and above this, once you've met all those obligations, do you not have the freedom to spend anything that you want after
that?
Yeah,
but generally, if you're that disciplined, you don't want to.
Well, but you're right. There's huge people that don't care to spend. They want to go, you know, save more, and it becomes a game.
If you had I'll spend whatever I've got mentality, you never would have budgeted in the first place.
No. Not spend what I've got. Spend. You have the freedom to spend what's left if you've met all of your obligations.
But because you respect money enough to budget it, you're not going to do it frivolously.
Mm-mm. So
it's going to mean something.
So there's a lot of things that I would love people to do a one-page budget. But I also want people, especially some of these new home buyers, to pay attention to the papers that they're given. Now, what I mean by that is there's two papers that a lender like myself has to give you. There's one called an LE, a loan estimate, that right. here's what you get on the front side. And then there's a CD called a closing disclosure, and that's what you get on the back side. And those two things clearly have to match, and that's what legally we're all held to.
When you say they have to match, if it's an LE, it's got, I mean, when, by the time you get to the CD, it has to be exactly the same?
No, there's some, like a lender fee. My fees can't change a dollar. There's certain things that a customer could shop for that can change if they choose to shop, but things that they can't shop for that I know are part of the transaction, there's a 10% tolerance. So let's pretend let's pretend you had a appraisal, and I know currently VA allows a appraiser to charge $800 for an appraisal.
Okay.
So if I put $800 on there.
On the estimate.
On the estimate, and then the appraiser goes, hey, this is a $2 million home, which is VA financeable in certain situations. So it's going to be a $1,200 charge, and they give me the bill. I have 3 days to disclose that to a consumer because it's new information to me.
But if you have 3 days, they still have to pay the 12.
Correct. On the fourth day, if I have not disclosed that to the customer, then I'm beyond the 10% tolerance, and the lender has to eat that difference.
So what is your policy when that does happen? Is it do you wait 3 days?
No, we would like to inform people of, because there's some things that we just don't know.
But you would inform immediately. As soon as you get it, it's just instantaneous.
Have to. Now, the reason I say that is the loan estimate that our industry is held to only matters when it's locked and you've triggered an application. So when you see loan estimates that are TBD, meaning to be determined, it's not really a good faith proposal. You can't really call them good faith estimates anymore, but it's not an accurate proposal based on you as a borrower and that as a property, because you can't say, oh, I actually did the due diligence research because I didn't know the house that you picked. And the reason I'm pointing this out is I had a consumer come into me and here's my loan estimate. And he goes, geez, Derek, this other company, they're like $7,000 cheaper.
Okay.
Why is that? And I said, well, let's lay them out line by line. Let's, you know, I have no problem doing that. So we take their LE that says TBD on it, so it's not really on the property that he's under contract for, and we go line by line. And there's box A, box B, box C. So for those that have ever done a mortgage anymore, it's really like a root canal. It's about 4 inches worth of paperwork, and some of it you just want to stab yourself in the eyeball.
Yeah.
But box A is things that the lender controls. Now, here's our interest rate. Here's their interest rate. Weird. It's the same interest rate. Now, you understand discount points. A discount point is when the customer wants to buy the rate down below par, or credits are when they want to take it above par. So our interest rate that day was 2.35 discount points.
Okay.
Not unheard of in this market, and, wow. and he wanted a really good interest rate and showed him what the cost was. Now, you go to the competitor's estimate, and he goes, see, Derek, they're only charging 1.5 points. I said, you're correct. There's 1.5 points there, but look at the line right below. It's labeled as origination. Now, if you take that dollar amount that they added for origination, which is equivalent to 1.25 points, technically they just charged you 2.75 points. But they marketed it as only 1.5 points with a random dollar amount in origination. It's the same thing to lenders. So he didn't, number one, that's not where the differences come from. But number one, he didn't understand that these two things are a sum total equivalent. He just saw the word points, and that other lender is trying to make the points look like they don't meet where Fannie and Freddie bond pricing is right now.
So obviously somebody would do that in an effort to stand out as a better quote, mm-hmm. better estimate. But at some point, you can't do that to intentionally deceive.
Well, but you can, as a lender, lenders are allowed to either identify them as points or origination. It's all added into
right.
the same thing. So the bottom line cash total is what most consumers then look at. So this, again, is a correct way of doing it. I just think it's a little deceitful.
It's not deceitful according to the rules. It's
correct.
Following the rules.
Correct. So, but that's box A.
But it's not the complete picture.
And it's not the complete picture. That's box A. So we were actually cheaper in box A. But he goes, but Derek, you guys are still this much more. I said, let's go to box B. Now, you and I know this is a new construction home. and you're putting how much down? He goes, I'm putting 5% down. Cool. So with new construction, you and I know the appraiser is going to go out, do their job, and then they have to go back out and do the final inspection. They have to go make sure the electric and the water's on and check to make sure that it was built according to the plans and specs. I said, you and I know there's a final inspection fee. Why haven't they identified there's a final inspection fee on here? He goes, I don't know. I said, cool. So you just told me you're going to put 5% down. Would you agree there needs to be mortgage insurance?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay, so there has to be mortgage insurance because when you put less than 20% down, some way on a Fannie Freddie conventional loan, it's going to be insured, whether it's monthly mortgage insurance that most people are used to or some of the super sneaky single premium mortgage insurance products that's you pay a one-time lump sum fee and then you don't have monthly mortgage insurance. Kind of like going to Sam's Club or Costco. When you buy something in bulk, you get a discount.
Yeah.
When you do a single premium mortgage insurance product, you pay a one-time fee. It's money, but now you have no monthly mortgage insurance. Or you can do what's called lender-paid mortgage insurance. Back in the day, remember when we used to write off our interest?
Yeah.
And you really can't do that anymore. Why? Because the standard deductions have basically taken all that out. So I said, now here's what's interesting. You and I said you wanted to do single premium mortgage insurance. So notice this $5,500 charge that doesn't go to us, goes to the cheapest mortgage insurance company that we can find. There's really only six left in the nation. Said, you and I priced this out together, and here's where this just under $6,000 charge comes
from. And
then
he never has to pay monthly.
And you never pay monthly. Now, let's look at the competitor's estimate. See this box B? Do you see any single premium mortgage insurance charge? He goes, no. I flipped to the last page. I said, here's your payment estimate. I see principal and interest, property taxes, homeowner's insurance. There's no mortgage insurance. So how are they giving you a 30-year fixed with 5% down and no mortgage insurance?
They can't.
Oh, so they either blatantly lied or they made a rookie error and didn't put on your mortgage insurance, but you'll catch that later.
You're not going to get away with not doing it.
Now, here's what's interesting. Monthly mortgage insurance, is that a tolerance cure for a lender? The answer is no. So you could miss that and then go, oh, right at the very last minute, you need mortgage insurance. The one-time fee up front is a tolerance cure that if that other lender goes to add it, they're going to have to eat the whole thing. But the monthly mortgage insurance, they could add willy-nilly at any time, and it's completely allowed. So I said, here's almost $6,000 worth of it between the final inspection and this. And now let's go down and say, are you paying cash for the home or are you doing financing? He goes, well, clearly I'm doing financing.
Right. He wouldn't be talking to you.
Did you do an earnest deposit check? He goes, well, yeah, I did. I said, did you write that check out to the title company? He goes, yeah. I said, see this box C here where I've identified and line-itemed all of the title company charges between escrow, title insurance, Yuma County recording, their notary, their wire fees, etc. Look at this competitor's box C. He goes, it's blank. I just thought you guys were charging $2,000 more for all this stuff. I said, no, those things you have to have. And again, they just haven't told you it because they're not going to tell you that until after you lock and after they actually put everything together. So when you add all the things they missed, we were actually cheaper by $1,000.
Okay.
But they made it look like they were cheaper by almost $7,000 because they blatantly didn't put things on that a kindergartner in this industry should be able to put
now,
on
not
paper.
Not everybody would have come to you and said, explain it to me. Most people would not have done that. So thank goodness he did.
And we talked about that. I said, I have no problem explaining these. I love doing this because I have no fear that it's going to be super better. But the problem is most people will immediately go and take what appears to be cheaper, and then you're halfway or three quarters of the way through the process, and then you go, well, I don't want to look dumb and go back.
You're not going to complain.
No. So
because you would assume both of the people would have done it anyway. That they would have probably assumed people lie and cheat to me anyway, so they're... Derek would have done the same, which isn't true. You just had it out there.
But it's super interesting when you actually lay those out. So kind of like the personal family budget that we're talking about, it's really simple. Line item all your budgets. Make sure that you're investing for yourself first, and then you have the freedom to spend what's left on the bottom of the page. These two things in the mortgage industry, you know, it's super easy to compare, but the wonderful politicians that created these four-page loan estimates don't make it really readable. Because to you as a consumer, do you know what's supposed to be in box A, B, C, D, E, F, G? No.
Nope.
I mean, half the... you'd have to get your granddaughter in here to go through the alphabet to tell you what's in box A, B, C, or D.
She's dancing on the table.
I did hear that. It is kind of funny. Wasn't it a song?
I don't know.
No, that was a Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah. I don't know what she's doing, but we're going to put up with her all day.
You are going to put up with
her
all day.
There's a lot of energy there.
So, you know, here's what's interesting is I love looking at the numbers and I love looking at the data of the housing, inflation, the appreciation, mortgage rates. But I also love looking at one consumer at a time and saying, hey, let's make sure you get a great deal. You know, let's make sure that you make a good decision for you. This gentleman paying that extra $5,500 for the one-time mortgage insurance.
It's a good deal.
Is
you
a huge deal. Because that's basically the equivalent of 2.5 years worth of mortgage insurance for him. Now, that means in 2.5 years, after that 2 years, 6 months, and on the seventh payment, he's actually going to be saving money because he will never have mortgage insurance. He's buying a big, nice house.
And, so, he's expecting to stay there.
Mm-hmm. That's why it makes sense.
Because you're not going to do it thinking, I'm going to flip this in 2 years.
No. That's why it makes sense. He's buying a big home for he and his family to live in. He's analytical because he wants to make really good decisions. He's a knower. He wants to know that he's making a good decision, which I support. If this was a first-time buyer who was probably going to be in the home 2 to 3 years and then move off to the next one, no, that single premium mortgage insurance probably doesn't make sense because they're probably not going to be there long enough to see the profit potential of making that decision.
Absolutely.
But everybody's different. So we can talk about everybody else and their differences after the break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
All right, Yuma, it's 8:47 a.m. on a gorgeous Friday, Winnie the Pooh Day, blustery Friday. It is going to get gustier between 10 and 1. We're supposed to hit 25-mile-an-hour winds. So advice, roll your car windows up, because otherwise you're going to have...
Batten down the hatches.
You're going to have a whole bunch of dust in your car. Yeah. A couple of things that I just wanted to... Again, we talked about how culturally we change. So... People born in 1943, 60% of them, now 1943, again, a good bit ago, 60% of American workers born in 1943 were employed by companies that had defined benefit pension plans.
Right.
Okay. You know, you and I, for a lot of millennials and Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, they've never even heard of what that is. But that was the old, hey, I'm going to work for General Motors for 20 or 30 years, and then I'm going to leave with a monthly pension.
And insurance, and they get all kinds of. I mean, those defined plans included a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't cash value plans.
Nope.
It was you're going to get a check each and every month.
Right.
Now, just 6% of American workers born in 1964 are currently employed by companies that have a defined benefit pension plan.
Wow, that kind of difference.
That's a huge difference.
You know, when I first worked at the hospital, I was on the board, not work, mm-hmm. but they had a defined plan, and we moved it over to a 401k.
So what that means is the previous generation had no cash value. They just had a monthly check when they retired. And now you're moving over to give people the control to how much to invest. And it's a cash value plan.
Yeah. Self-controlled.
So, and again, I would much rather myself, from a discipline perspective, I would rather control my own 401k and invest. I don't want to hope that there's a pension or a something that is already fixed in the end.
A lot of them were very rich and very, very worthwhile, mm-hmm. but there's no guarantee. Some of those companies did things that caused the pensions to be hurt.
Insolvent
even in major cities where the firemen and stuff, they had a pension defined, and they ended up with like 30% or 40% or something because of problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So two more interesting facts that I was looking at is, and we in Yuma County would certainly know this, did you know that less than 4% of the counties in the United States out of 112 counties, 112 counties basically out of 3,142, so 4%. So those 112 counties make up 50% of all non-farm jobs. Now think about that.
Really?
We see farming as a huge thing here, so we see the inverse of that. But you're saying basically 4% of the living area in the country makes up half of all of the non-farm jobs.
Wow.
That's a tight group of clustered people, which I find that interesting because we talked about how people are moving to Yuma and Phoenix and Tucson and New Mexico and keeping those jobs that allow them to telecommute.
Correct.
I want to see how that stat changes over the next 10 years to see if the population disbursement, the population migration starts to change. Is that 4% now 6%? 7%?
It's a weird migration, isn't it? It's not what we're used to. Because we've seen the larger metropolitan areas grow.
Yeah. And now you think what was the one you were talking about, Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity on the previous segment? Tucker Carlson has that segment now talking about, the demise of L.A. and how lots of stuff has happened there between crime and drugs and everything else. You look at, people used to say, I'm moving to Hollywood. I'm going to Los Angeles. And that was the mecca to go do something.
Yeah, if you're going to make it New York.
Yeah, no, you're moving out of those areas. So, it's interesting. Just pay attention. There's a lot of things to open up our eyes and look at. And clearly my industry and expertise is real estate and mortgage. So pay attention to what's going on there. And when you see new neighborhoods opening and construction going nuts, clearly, it's still a good time to buy, and there's a housing shortage. When you drive around, you see help wanted signs all over the place, including at a lot of the subcontractor companies. they can't hire enough people. They need more people to get in there because they're trying to build faster and there's just not enough labor. That tells me that the demand is high, the supply is low, which means prices are going to keep going up. You know, and I think that's as close to a crystal ball moment as I can get for most people.
But that's based on experience and observation, you know.
It is.
We can tell a lot about the future by what happened in the past. Yeah, well, you know, baby, I'm kind of on the radio right
hey,
now.
Hey, you know what? She's probably got a good thought with all this stuff. She loves playing with Grandpa. She loves seeing Grandpa's shop and work. And again, you know, you go back to little bits of expertise. You have the expertise of automotive and business. So if I had something wrong with my truck, I probably don't want to go, man, I think I can diagnose all these computer systems and all this other stuff. I just want to go say, hey, Russ, what's wrong with this?
Yeah, I have people that do that for me, but because I'm not that good at it. I'm really a communications guy.
We've heard that before. But, you know, you just say the beauty in our society, especially in Yuma, is you can have a group of really good people around you to help you make good decisions. So, you know, again, from a mortgage perspective, I want a great real estate agent. I want a great attorney. I want a great CPA or financial advisor. I want this group of people to help me make great decisions. If I'm thinking of doing anything in a car, Russ, how many people should you consult with?
Well, you know, a couple, at least, depending on what the complexities is. If somebody says, look, you need $5,000 worth of
second opinion. But
normally a break job, me, just one.
But I want somebody like you who's handling the maintenance, but I want somebody who's handling my insurance and making sure that both ends are taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, and some people forget that it's not just a one person helping society. It's you probably need a really good insurance agent. Oh, by the way, that's part of your housing stuff.
Sure.
But it's also part of your automotive, but it's also part of your estate planning, you know, and how many people are underinsured based on what their family finances are?
Surprisingly, most.
Most. So,
yeah, especially on the automobiles and stuff. You know, they just don't insure enough.
Well, for crying out loud, what's the state minimum? And neither you or I are insurance agents.
It used to be worse. It's still not great, but I don't know. But it was not enough to cover a medical bill if you got in an accident.
You know, you just wonder, why are you underinsured?
Because the legislature, in their wisdom, wanted to help poor people by keeping the rates down.
That makes so much sense to me.
You know, it keeps the rates down until you have an accident.
and then you're paying for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it could, potentially.
You know, and you see some of these things like, and again, my heart goes out to anybody who's lost a family member at the wrong time. When you drive down Fourth Avenue, how many times do you see the car wash for funeral expenses?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the GoFundMe pages, all kinds of stuff.
That to me says underinsured. If you have to do a car wash for a funeral expense, there wasn't even any life insurance. And again, I'm not a life insurance agent. You're not.
No.
But those kinds of things, you need a good insurance agent. You need a good financial planner. You need a good attorney. You need a good mortgage broker, your banker. You know, you need a good real estate agent. If you go on the automotive, you need a really good mechanic and shop that you trust. None of what we do is a singularly, I can make it myself.
You know, all the things you talked about just now and what you need and all that, there's a complexities to knowing what you need. And some people just don't know what they don't know.
Well, they know that they should call you or I and we'll point them in the right direction. So.
That's right. But we're talking basic life skills now. And basic life skills, we don't get a lot of instruction.
Nope. Why not? I can tell you, it's interesting when I talk to a lot of educators, because we do loans for a lot of teachers. And my mom, you know, bless her heart, God rest her soul, was a teacher for near 30 years. We used to teach people critical thinking skills.
Correct.
And how to analyze. And now we teach rote memorization because of a standardization of testing. So as long as you can memorize what needs to be memorized.
But there's no reason we can't do both.
You're right. You're right.
You know, and I'm okay with memorization. Like, I'm a pilot, so I had to take tests and standardized tests to make sure that I understood all the rules. That's fine. But the critical thinking and flying the thing, you know, comes from time, experience, and having a good instructor.
So the critical thinking of when your engine stalls and you're at 7,000 feet and you start to nose down, then what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I
Yeah, that's all good too, but you need both.
Yeah.
And we don't. We do too much.
And the same thing goes to...
We don't teach skills. We don't teach life skills in school.
Which I love the fact that we could get schools to do that, and I also hope that we start educating, you know, moms and dads, grandparents, aunts and uncles.
That's where it's
got to
go.
We need to teach, you know, you better be teaching that grandbaby of yours out there.
Every day.
Budgeting and financial planning and...
Every day, and she doesn't even know she's being taught anything.
It is fun. I actually watched both you and your daughter at midnight at the Oasis coaching her on stuff.
Oh.
You had her selling stuff.
Correct.
By the way, for everybody who's listening to this, it was the funniest thing that Russ was actually using granddaughter to go sell shirts and hats, and she was doing a good job.
Because I'm basically lazy.
Yeah, lazy and boy.
It's child labor, but she was a game. It was fun.
And she's become social, which is the only fear that I have for a lot of the kids, my kids included, with what happened with COVID. Is for 2 years we taught everybody to be antisocial and to be indoors and stay away. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff to work on. It's been a fun hour.
You only got 30 seconds.
Hey, you know what?
Say goodbye.
For everybody from Academy Mortgage and KBLU, if you have served, are served, anybody in your family served, our hats go out to you for allowing us to do this fun, free society that we have. God bless you and thank you for everything. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.